Well, I have a couple of guests that are coming on. We actually have two shows that we're going to be doing, but the first show is Reverend Dr. Phil DeLong, and we also have Frank Fascino with us. He's kind of like an observer that's going to be along because I'm going to be doing a program with him. How are you guys doing? Are you both there?
We're good, TJ.
Great.
And Frank just came in the room, so say hello, Frank.
How are you doing, TJ?
Great.
Good morning, good afternoon, wherever we are.
You guys are...
I don't know what's going to happen around Dr. Phil when he starts doing his thing.
Yeah, I know. You've told me about some of that, Frank. It's good to hear from you guys again and talk to you. And you guys are in Florida, and I'm guessing enjoying the weather a little better than... You know, we've got well below zero. We've got these extreme wind chill. What is it like in Florida?
Well, about what I have is 0 degrees right now, TJ, is my iced drink. It's about 65, 70 outside right now.
Oh, it sounds beautiful. Anyway, let's talk about Dr. Phil DeLong, Reverend Dr. Phil DeLong. You want to tell us a little bit about yourself again, Phil, if you don't mind?
Yes, TJ. I am a, what you call a psychic medium. I work in Casadega, Florida, at the Casadega Spiritualist Camp as a medium, a healer, and a teacher.
And you have, you're an ordained minister. That's the reverend title. Tell us what that's about.
I have had two ordinations. One was through the International Association of Metaphysics. And this was about a 5-year training process. The other ordainment that I received was from the Lively Stones World Healing Fellowship, and that was based on healing modalities.
And how long have you been, would you say, a medium or a psychic medium? I mean, is it something you knew early on, or is it when you had your near-death experience, or when did that all come about?
That occurred when I was a child, maybe 6 or 7 years old, is when I noticed I had those abilities.
And so, go ahead.
I was brought up Roman Catholic, so my parents more or less said I had an overactive imagination and none of this existed.
Good thing they were right, huh? And so it took you a while, I'm sure, to become who you are now, because we all go through different phases when you start believing in different things than the average person. And how long did it take you before you really felt comfortable doing what you do now?
Well, I had a near-death experience when I was 12 years old, another one when I was 20, and there I believe I picked up things more psychic or more intuitive. Now, then I had what you would call a normal work and family life, and it took me to about 50 when I first started being comfortable approaching people and giving them the messages from the other side.
Now, you get messages from people that have passed away. You talk to them directly, correct?
That is correct.
But you also channel other beings, and that's what I was hoping that we would get into, because, you know, I have some friends that do some channeling. I've been around it. If you're new to it, it seems like it's kind of, I don't know, very awkward thing. But can you explain channeling to people that aren't familiar maybe with it?
Channeling is an energy that you receive from your higher self or from the universe. And typically one has to get into a meditative state to receive that information.
Would you say that all of us, because I know this has happened to me many times, would you say that all of us at some point probably channel?
I do believe so. And I would say that daydreaming is one form of channeling.
Really?
Boy, where you go out and you more or less trance out in that daydreaming, and you are accessing part of the universe.
So in school, I must have really been doing a good job of channeling because I wasn't paying attention a lot of times. Sorry.
I agree, too, because I felt school was very boring.
So what we're going to try to do and is contact the Ascended Masters. Can you tell us a little bit about the Ascended? If that's who you want to do first, is that who you want to talk to?
Yeah, that was good.
And who are the Ascended Masters?
Okay, the Ascended Masters and that type of consciousness or realm is a group of beings who have been on the earth plane before, and they have more or less transcended the earth plane to the cosmic plane. So we have a group of people who assist humanity in doing good for the planet. So an ascended master could be Jesus the Christ. It could be the Buddha. It could be ascended master Saint Germain, who works with the violet flame. It could be Plato. It could be Aristotle. And all these other beings. Now, in the ascended master realms, the archangels are also included.
Okay.
And so we have the angelic beings in there. We have the ascended masters, the archangels, and another grouping they call the Elohim.
Elohim, right?
Yep, the Elohim, which is a biblical term, and basically Elohim means God in the plural sense. So in that grouping, we may have Hercules.
All the old gods, different beliefs?
Old type gods.
So some of those myths are actually, would you say, were true? Some of those myths, like the Greek legends or some of the different...
Yep, I totally agree with that. Odin would be one of those, Thor.
So some of those, if the legends are true, some of them weren't real nice. They were kind of controlling us and making us, you know, we were fighting for there to make them happy. I mean, is any of that part of it true?
That is true because in... You know, the universe, it's like the yin and yang of everything. So we have a positive force and we have a negative force.
So
ascended masters are trying to assist humanity, so we totally negate the negative energies out there.
So these myths that we've heard for... in all the legends, there's a bit of truth in all of them. And what we're going to hope to do is talk to Ascended Masters today. Not anyone specifically?
Probably Saint Germain will be coming through.
And what do you need to do to get ready for that, Phil?
Well, I had been meditating earlier today. So when a person channels, you want to get into a meditative state. And you also want to get into a protective state.
I was just going to ask you.
So you don't bring in any negative forces.
Right. You open the door kind of like you would with a Ouija board or some other device. You can actually open the door to the spirit realm. And if you don't know what you're doing or don't ask for protection. Now, how do you ask for protection?
With Saint Germain works with the violet flame. So pretty much this is the core of the flame is blue. And as the blue would be associated with Archangel Michael, so you have that protection there and that sort of protection. Then around that blue would be the violet flame, which would be like standing in a 9-foot bonfire. And this energy... does a couple of things. It transmutes negative energies into positive outcomes. So it is getting rid of anything negative. But it's also one of spiritual alchemy. So you can turn lead into gold. That's the energy of that violet flame. So there is a mantra that I use, or actually how I invoke the violet flame in the morning, is I would take an amethyst point, and then I would sweep myself three times counterclockwise, saying, I am a being of violet fire, I am the purity God desires. So that's three times counterclockwise, then repeated by three times clockwise with that mantra, I am a being of violet fire, I'm the purity God desires. And then you seal it in with the infinity symbol three times and close with, I am that I am, so be it.
And that works every time?
Yes, it does.
So no spirits have been hanging around you. You ever have, like, when you first started doing this, any spirits, like, show up or not leave or mess with you a little bit?
Well, there are spirits, and it has to do with our auric field, which we'll be talking about channeling healing energy later. But when you look at your auric field, you have a physical aura, an emotional aura, and a mental aura for the three lower bodies on the physical plane. And you have an astral body connected to the heart chakra, and then a spiritual body for the three higher chakras. So when we look at the lower bodies, we have the physical body first, and we have what we call an etheric body, which is the physical duplicate around that. And that, you can say, would be like a webbing around you. This is your protective shield.
Okay.
You can poke holes into that protective shield by many things. You can do it by smoking. You can do it by drinking. So if you really want to get an attachment, a negative attachment or being with you, go to a bar and smoke and drink. All right? And you will take home a Klingon.
But also, wouldn't you also say that not just smoking and drinking, but also medications, drugs, illegal drugs, and even medications can bring that as well?
That will do so. But the one thing that really will poke a hole in that aura is anger and hatred. And just the spoken word, if you're in argument, you will poke holes in that auric field or that etheric shield.
It's interesting. You know, and we lose sight of that probably on a regular basis because maybe we get caught up in things or somebody cuts us off in traffic. So we kind of create that ourselves. We bring it in. But we can also release it all the time, can't we, Phil?
Yes, because that violet flame works on what we call the seventh ray, or that violet ray, that is the ray of forgiveness.
So, unless there's more that you want to have to say, I would really like to, I'm chomping at the bit, like to get to talk to, unless Frank has any
more
questions, go ahead.
As far as physical illness, that unforgiveness in the heart is the main cause to disease.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So, unforgiveness of yourself, unforgiveness of others?
Just that both, you know. So I can go into the biblical thing about Judas and how he committed suicide, whether before or after the ascension, depending if which chapter of the Bible you read. But then he was already forgiven by Jesus for what he had done. It's just he did not forgive himself.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people that do that for that reason. So do you want to move forward and speak with Frank, do you have any questions at all? comments?
I'm just standing back here waiting to see what happens because I've never seen this done either.
Okay. So do you want to go with the Ascended Masters now and maybe St. Germain's going to speak?
Yep, that is what we will do. Give me a moment to make that connection.
Okay.
Greetings, my blessed ones. I welcome you today. There are many energies associated with Mother Earth that are negative, and these are energies we must transmute. And we use the violet flame to do that. For example, when you think of a negative thought, you must get rid of them. Everything in the positive outlook is what is important for humanity. And it is done by action on your part. A lot of energies are held down to our fellow humans. We see a lot of homeless people. We see a lot of people who are starving. There are many people asking for help. And what do? Sometimes we are selfish and walk away, blind to those situations. Other times we help. But this is a collective consciousness problem, and one that you don't necessarily all have to do it by yourselves. That collective consciousness can send and do things tenfold or a hundredfold. And when we channel this energy in, we use the power of 1,000 suns. And you feel that energy. And it builds within you, and it can transmute a lot of negative things. Some of those negative things are what has been programmed into our own minds. So when we use the violet flame, we free ourselves from what has binded us. There is a lot of things about what has been taught to us and what has controlled us throughout our lives. And it is an energy, when we take that in, it is an awakening as to how we can go forward, free ourselves from what has binded us. There are many control mechanisms in the world. One of them is, for our fellow Americans, the American dream. The key to life is happiness. That happiness can include a mortgage, 4-car payments, a boat payment, etc. But we're not bound by the physical. It is all the spiritual energies that lets us free. And where does that begin? It begins in your heart. A lot has been said that the heart speaks for the mind, but through our control factors, the mind plays that little game with us, and I need this. I need these material things, which can be nice, but not necessarily what you need. Think about what your material needs are and what the other material needs for some who are not so fortunate as yourselves. And where do you go from there? You can only live in your own means. And there is a lot about manifesting your heart's desire. The Ascended Masters not necessarily is concerned with monetary, the monetary wealth of humanity, but it does play a part in society. The Ascended Masters will supply you with what you need. So when you want to manifest a certain amount of money, allow the Ascended Masters to work with you, but it is within your means. Only ask for what you need. So at this point, there has been, with the Ascended Masters and the energies around this world, has been transmuting a lot of negative energies. And this has to do with people who control things on a world scale. You have heard this called the Illuminati, the Swamp, the Rothschilds, those type of energies. And the world is coming to a conclusion or an awakening that things need to change. The Ascended Masters are helping you to assist in this change, and you can call it a world change. But it isn't going to come overnight. It is a collective consciousness that makes that happen. Now, on an individual basis, there's things that we need to do to be spiritual. A lot of things that people get caught up in is gossiping and but also passing along information that is secondhand. We see that in the news. But if you want to be spiritual, you need to approach the person in front of him and not talking behind their back. That is an energy that holds humanity down. When we use the violet flame, we can transmute all these negative forces around you into those positive outcomes. If you have any questions at this time, I will take them.
Well, thank you. You probably know I have a lot of questions. So, first of all, thank you for being here. It's nice to talk with you. I feel like a connection to Saint Germain, like the violet flame. I've read more about that recently, so I know we all are, have a certain like level we're connected to. Is that accurate?
Yes, that is correct.
And my assumption that I'm connected to you, is that an accurate assumption?
Yes, you are.
Okay. And I'm guessing Phil as well. I guess I wanted to ask the question of ascension, because I keep hearing this thrown around, that the Earth is ascending into the fifth dimension, and that we eventually will be doing the same. Is that also something that the Ascended Masters are talking about?
Yes, it is. The Earth goes through a lot of changes. The energies that are coming in from the Ascended Masters are assisting Earth going into the fifth dimension. Now, the Earth, as Plato would say, is a living creature, just like we all are. The Earth changes. The Earth has ley lines that are energy fields associated with it. On those ley lines are responses to the energy that humanity is emitting to Mother Earth. So when we see natural disasters such as floodings, earthquakes, somewhat hurricanes, and those disasters along the ley lines, then that is an energy that Earth is responding to.
So Earth is releasing. Here's another thing that I've heard, is that the reason Earth has to release all of these negative or these incidents is because of the negative energy that we are putting onto it. Is that part of it?
That is correct. And those energies are greed, envy, and the such.
So every time Frank and Phil get a hurricane in their backyard, it's really just, it's the planet releasing. I mean, there's natural things that are going to happen, but, you know, we've seen more intense ones. And that's because, is that because Earth is just trying to balance itself out?
Yes. However, with hurricanes, the collective consciousness can turn the path and direction of the hurricanes. This has been done before and documented.
So a hurricane could either turn away from you or turn towards you, is what you're saying.
That is correct.
So now that we're moving in this direction of ascension, and we are doing this as well, we also have to balance ourselves. And that's why, is that why maybe we're seeing all these things come up within ourselves?
Yes, it is correct. Now, when we are ascending, or the first portion is awakening, the second portion is ascending or expanding that awakening. It is something that the information is always available to you, and when you are awakened and ascending, that information will lead you towards your soul path. Now, this information comes through meditation, but it also comes through dreams, daydreams, and what we would call either lucid dreams or astral traveling. It is, the information is there at your own, at the tip of your hands. All you have to do is act upon it or ask for it.
I have been studying this a lot, and very interested in the Ascended Masters and ascension in itself. And from what I understand, there may come a time, not only will we ascend this level, but we also maybe would take our body with us. Is that something that you see happening?
You would take your spirit with you.
But not
now,
your physical body.
No. It's, okay. For example, as Saint Germain, I have ascended the physical plane to the cosmic plane. And by doing so, I have burnt off all my karmic debt. And I have had many life streams. One of those has been Plato. One of those has been Merlin from King Arthur's time, Sir Francis Bacon, Roger Bacon, Christopher Columbus. And as you see, every one of those lifetimes, there has been spiritual alchemy in them. And with Christopher Columbus, the alchemy in that was that the belief system that the world was not round. In Sir Francis Bacon's spiritual alchemy was there were certain wars that England was fighting, and as the treasurer of England, the spiritual alchemy was turning that lead into gold so they could refill their treasury. But along with those lifetimes, there were certain karmic debts associated with it. War, in the case of Sir Francis Bacon, Christopher Columbus, you might say there was a little conquer involved with that, and taking away properties that didn't belong to Spain. So those debts were karmically resolved as my last embodiment of Saint Germain, which I had was called the Wonder Man of Europe and assisted many people, including Marie Antoinette. It was there that I traveled or escaped France and the guillotine per se, based on Marie Antoinette's warning. And she was given the warning as well to leave, only she'd not heed that warning until it was one day late. But as I came to the United States, then I was one of the founding fathers, who assisted the United States in the freedom that the world has seen ever since. So everybody can become an ascended master. You are an ascended master in training.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's fine, but, you know, all we have to do is follow our heart and do good.
Is it true that you, Saint Germain, lived more than a few hundred years in a physical body?
That is correct. That is that spiritual alchemy that you can do.
So our bodies would not have to get old, and they would not have to die.
No, they do not.
And I guess what I'm asking, because, you know, I look at Jesus being an ascended master. Didn't he take his body with him?
It is the appearance of that. So, in our, he is a spirit, and the image that is portrayed to people on earth is the image that is in their mind. For example, the Ascended Master Jesus in the 300 ADs had a life in India. And in India, you can go and see his burial tomb.
Interesting. So we all have a different goal for being here. And since you're here, and I'm guessing you're aware of all these things, I wanted to ask about our buddy Frank, because he has been on this mission to find a truth. And is that what he is, like a truth seeker?
Yes, he is. And he is one who is awakening other people to the truth. There is a lot of things in the UFO realm that people want to hide from the common people. Their existence to begin with, but all the technology that has been available from our alien friends.
And many of them... Go ahead, I'm sorry.
There has been world peace available to humanity ever since the 1940s and 50s. And there are certain alien beings who struck a deal with President Eisenhower. He chose technology over world peace.
So the group that came during the Flatwoods or Braxton County, whatever, Flatwoods Monster incident, those were a group of beings, because Frank and I have talked about this, those were a group of beings that were here to assist us, were checking up on us.
That is correct. Now, in the beginning, there would be what we call two groups, the reptilians and the Anunnaki, or good and bad, or the yin and the yang of the universe. Since then, it's the two groups have intermingled, or you would call it in America, interracial relationships. So there is, from the two groups, there are several groups that go to the assistance of humanity. So to look at the reptilians in Flatwoods, we're here to assist humanity.
Okay. Frank, are you listening? Do you have any questions on this? Now's your chance.
Oh, I'm kind of enthralled by this whole thing here, because it's like Dr. Phil isn't even sitting here. First 20 minutes, he didn't even open his eyes, and he was waving his hands around like an Italian.
So
his
face
is turning red, too. I noticed that.
So do we want to go on with anything more, that because we're already running a little bit long on it, but is there anything more you want to tell us at all at this point?
I will say that something about reptilians are normally viewed as negative. But when we go to the Egypt-type cultures, and one of the ascended masters from Egypt is Serapis Bey, who also assists humanity. But we look at their teachings, and the cobra was prominent in their culture. The cobra you see in many of the masks that the pharaohs wore. And that projects a connection to the universe. So a cobra, when you see it on hieroglyphics, represents a cobra hole, per se, to the universe, as we call wormholes now.
Okay. And so we're saying the visitors back then at that time period were actually instructing us and leading us forward and helping us in many ways.
Correct.
Okay. And then the Anunnaki prior to that was maybe not helping us quite as much. They weren't doing that.
Well, they gave mankind consciousness.
Okay. But were we a slave race under the Anunnaki?
Yes. But you have to, they gave, Homo sapiens the consciousness to evolve. And the Anunnaki were prominent in the Egyptian culture as well.
Okay. So they've been around for a long time. And did they leave, or they're not here anymore, I'm guessing?
They are the ones who have a base on Mars.
Really?
Yes.
Interesting. They're not the ones that are visiting here. They're not the ones that were in Flatwoods or any of the other incidents.
They are assist humanity in other ways.
So they do assist us now.
Yes. And if I can bring in Heltor now.
Yes. I don't want to keep you. You probably have other things to do, I'm guessing, as an ascended master. But it's so nice of you, Doctor, or Saint Germain. Nice to communicate with you. Thank you.
I am Heltor. I am from the Pleiades. And as I come, people in my culture think of me as Archangel Michael in your culture. But I would be on the Galactic Council. And as Saint Germain was talking, it's the Galactic Council has many beings that assist humanity, not only the Anunnaki, but the Reptilians, and all those to keep not only an order for the Earth plane, but an order for the universe. So there are many cosmic transmissions that are thwarted off before they even hit planet Earth. And these are negative vibrations or negative force fields that come into Earth. As a galactic warrior, as you may call me, then we do patrols around the universe, much like Archangel Michael does a patrol for the energies around Mother Earth, but also elsewhere. I work with Archangel Michael, and we exchange information many times. But it is, as the Galactic Council is looking at everything, Earth at this time is a key energy field for the order of the universe. Some people have called that Earth is a prison planet, and that also it is a place of experimentation. I am here to tell you that is not true. Earth is a key development of the order of the universe from a consciousness level. One can say that Earth receives a lot of technology from other beings from the Galactic Council. This is true, but things have been on Earth that have been forgotten. The consciousness of Earth is about remembering. Remembering, and that's why meditation is as so key, as Saint Germain has said. But everything is about remembering. Remembering the technology, like the Great Pyramid, and the energy that helped Mother Earth. It's, we need to take that energy and have the Great Pyramid assist again with removing the negativity. If the Great Pyramid actually was the power field that it was, then humanity would again assist each other and be in peace and harmony for the good of all. Now, do you have questions for me?
Yes, I do. And first of all, it's nice to talk to you, Helter. Are you a physical being?
I appear to people, so I am, have, it's nice that you asked this question, because this is one of the ones that was remembering as to how people in the Lemurian times could both have a spiritual body and a physical body. And yes, I am a physical being, if I want to be.
Okay.
But as a spiritual being, that is how we can travel through the universe.
And so the Pleiades, the Pleiadians and other groups are involved in the helping us remember, allow, you know, the, you're working with us, but you're helping us move forward, correct?
That is correct.
And what other groups? People say like the Sirians and Andromedans, Arcturians. I mean, are those actual groups as well?
They are.
And when we talked about reptilian beings, which was similar to what Flatwoods Monster talked about, is there a name of the race that they belong to?
There are many races of them. Their main group is from a star in the Pleiades, actually. And that is what I call Electra. And you may call them the Electrons.
Okay. Good. We got a name with them. And they came here back in, well, I'm sure more than once to visit us. But initially, what was their mission, and what were they doing in Braxton County, West Virginia, in 1952? Why were they here back then?
They were here on a peace mission. And it was to come to the leaders of the world. And at that time, America was the country that led the world. And they were to come and offer that world peace.
And they were,
unfortunately, there were some differences in opinion in the world order on Earth. And that was to, as you will hear later, shoot them down. So the frequencies that could not be interpreted as far as peace were coming in to an ignorance level as to don't upset the status quo.
Was there more than one group of beings that came over during that initial with that in that evening or that time period when we saw several of them, several craft over the United States?
There were several ambassadors from other Galactic Council members.
And were they responding in any way? Because we theorized on this. Were they responding in any way to some activities that were going on here in the planet, like war games or anything like that?
What they wanted to do was, because the atomic power had just been remembered, they wanted to have a control mechanism, and perhaps the world would have gone in a different direction as it had done.
Have they been keeping us from destroying the planet?
Most definitely.
Have they been, I know the planet, I've read articles about this and I've heard people talk about it, other people channel it. Have they been replenishing the planet, or would we have expired a long time ago?
They have been replenishing it. There are bases, and some of them you could call hollow Earth. Some of them are what you call the USOs, or underground through the oceans. So one of them is Antarctica, is a large base. But there are others in the major vortex systems, as Saint Germain referred to, and those would be Bermuda, the Devil's Triangle, Mount Shasta, all these where you see the anomalies.
And these are doorways.
Yes, they are.
And do people sometimes actually go inside this and wind up in another place?
Yes, they do.
And where do they wind up?
Anywhere.
I have another.
And they have also gone to the Galactic Council.
You know, there was a plane incident that I think, because so many people were just sensing something more, and I just have this feeling, that Malaysian flight, did that happen to them?
Yes.
Mm.
Now, going to try to put it in your Earth timeline, but you have probably seen the movie Millennium with Chris Christopherson. Think of that as that Malaysian flight, but that timeline, or that shift of people into another dimension.
Interesting. And you wonder, there's probably so many people throughout history that's happened to. So, I could go on forever. I don't know, Frank, if you're still there, do you have any questions or any comments or anything you want to say?
There, let me finish this thought, please.
Okay. Sure, sorry.
There are a lot of things that Hollywood has produced as well, which is what you would call stranger than fiction, but don't be surprised, like Men in Black. Man wakes up in coma after 30 years.
Hmm. Any message you have for the people of Earth, where we're going, the direction we're going, what we can do to maybe help get there?
Stop fighting.
Put a little more love in our hearts? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it has to come to a world leader type basis, which was the Flatwoods mission. So everybody has to get together on the same page. And maybe this will be with the UFO disclosure. Maybe one day you'll see all our major cities just with spaceships everywhere.
But we don't have an idea of when that's going to be, do we?
Sooner than you think.
Great. 5 minutes from now. Boom. Just kidding. Helter, it's nice to talk to you. Is there anything else you want to tell us?
That is all for now. And peace. Peace and harmony is key.
Thank you. And so we'll let Dr. Phil return to the planet because he's out there. Actually, I talked to him before the interview, and he said he's really kind of aware of what's going on. While it's, some people are channel and they don't really remember all of it, whenever you're ready, Phil.
Okay. That is, there are some parts of channeling. Usually you do go into a trance. So parts of it you remember, parts of it you may not remember. One of the greatest psychics who lived in America was Edgar Casey. And he was what we would call the sleeping psychic. So where he would go into a trance and he would be totally asleep and not remember anything, he would just have people record it.
Now, do you feel the energies of these beings as they're going through you? Is that like a shift in energy?
Yes, there is. Saint Germain was more a calming type energy, and Helthor would be what I would call a fire energy.
Okay. He's a little more intense.
Yes, he is.
Frank, are you still with us? Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
What are you thinking, Frank? This Twilight Zone for you?
Yeah, it sure is. But I was watching Phil pretty close, and during that second channel, he really changed his whole demeanor. His face, his motions, his hand movements, his voice, the way he carried himself. It was like a different person. Actually, both. Now Phil's back. He looks normal again. And the hair just went back down on my arms, TJ.
You know, if you've never seen channeling before, and that's a good, I think that's a good accurate definition of watching somebody do that. It's like they step aside. Is that what you do, Phil? You kind of step aside and allow something else to speak through?
Yes, I do.
And the message that they were saying is that obviously, you know, we are moving in a direction. They're assisting us. But also the message I keep hearing is that we need to become more of a loving planet. There's duality. There's this split between what we truly are and thinking that we're separate from that, the consciousness of what we truly are, source. And is that something you think that they see or that you see as well going on?
I see that, and I've been probably channeling about 10 years now on what we call a full moon meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So where we channel the Ascended Masters, and that typically is, you know, the message.
And so we've chosen, really, this is, you know, people say, well, there were bad beings that came here and we have dark energy and we're fighting that. But really a lot of it is our choice. Here's the way I understand. I just want to get your take, Phil. We're gods, basically. We're allowed to go forward and do things and explore and become things. And so we wanted to experience the absence of source by coming to a place where there would be duality. So we would not be connected to one. We'd be split in two. Is that kind of what the masters say or what you feel is going on?
I would agree with that. I'm going to go with the Buddha, you know, and one of his teachings is the path to enlightenment is to find the cause of suffering. So I think that for our only soul path to you know, finally burn that karma off, it's, you know, somehow we have to physically experience what is good, what is bad, what is true, and what is false.
Right. You can't know what it's like until you know what the opposite is like. And so, like, to me, my understanding of this is that you don't know what source is, what God is, until you experience the opposite of what that is. So to me, this was the great choice that we made, many of us made, to come here, was to experience what it was like without source, so that way we'd know it more. And then we kind of got lost along the way in all of the creation. And there's many others that have been manipulating and tinkering and doing things, and it's all part of creation. So I guess I'd say that we're a little bit lost in our own creation.
That is true, but I will go back to a near-death experience that I had had when I was 12, and I was riding a bicycle, and a Jeep ran a yield sign and just dragged me under it for 50 yards. So I was in a coma for 3 days, but what happened there is I went straight to what I would call a white light. And that was just peace and harmony and total oneness. And I think that is pretty much being creator or being God. It's just that's what everybody needs, is being on the same page and living in peace and harmony. And listening to John Lennon's Imagine.
Okay, great. So we have just a little more time left in the show, and we were going to talk about healing energies. Unless there's more you want to say right now, do you want to go in that direction? Would you mind?
Yeah, going to the healing type energies. Now, for a healer, it's what you're connecting to. Again, it's a meditation type process, but what you are connecting to the universe, and you're bringing down prana, or that God force healing energies, into you, but you're only being a channel, and you're sending that healing energy to people. Now, I work on the divine template, so I'm working on physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual type energies. But when you're in the physical energy, then you pick up certain colors, and normally the colors are working on the chakra systems. Now, when I channel that energy, I'm clearing out negative energies on all the chakras and putting, you know, cleansing and healing and putting those chakras back into the divine template as to what they're supposed to be. But when you're in that physical aura, you can see the color that is predominant in the person, and those are where the energies need to be directed. So if a person is, you know, red, then in a physical aura, then you're working on issues associated with anger and frustration, but those are going to be shown up in your adrenals or your kidneys, and your colon and areas like that. So it's more inflammation in that areas based on that anger and things like that. If it shows up orange, then that's typically going to be, again, the stomach-type issues, but it's going to be also gallbladder-type issues. And again, maybe the kidneys on that. If it's orange, usually it has to do with abundance issues, like your job, your work, and where you want to be there. And that going to cause, you know, things with that. Let me get this. So that's where I see orange is going to be in the stomach type areas. The yellow, when that comes through, that usually has to do with flight and fight or flight type things, because it's working with the solar plexus chakra. That's where your personal power is. So that's going to work with the pancreas area and the liver area. So when we look at that, it's your response to the situation in your in. I mean, a lot of people can drink away their problems, and that's why we have the liver in there. And when we see green, that has to do with the heart issue. And the heart also has the blood system and just regulating the lungs and circulatory system, if you want to call it the blood system. But also you might see a little pink around there, and that is usually represents unconditional love. And those issues are what I would call, you may have to use some tough love in things, and you might have to say no.
Mm, okay. That makes sense, because some people are too giving, right?
Well, no, it comes to be an enabling problems.
Oh, I see.
So, but yeah, saying no means a couple different things. You don't want to take on as much as you need to, but also you don't want to enable people either. It's, you know.
Sometimes you do have to say no.
You gotta let your kids, you know, do their own path in life.
Yeah, you can't always protect the people you love, and I think a lot of us probably have done that. Or there was a time in my life when I helped everybody, and I would give them money, and I learned a hard lesson that you're just kind of enabling people. You know, Saint Germain was talking about reaching out and helping others. I've done a lot of that in my life. But then also the universe kind of showed me some balance, and it said, if you keep giving them money, they're going to keep taking it, and they're going to do nothing, you know?
Yep.
And so there's... You can help them at first, maybe, and then it's like, are they learning anything from this? And TJ had a little wake-up call on that.
So then when we look at blue, that's going to be with your throat chakra. It's could be a thyroid problem with that. But it also has to do with the throat and the ears. Basically, you know, sometimes it has to do with self-doubt and just believing in yourself and communicating what you need. I mean, the best thing you can do is, like, ask and you will receive,
mm-hmm.
as the word says. But a lot of people, you know, get so entrenched as, no, I'm going to do it myself.
Right. Well, it all makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure there's much more to it. So when you heal somebody, like when you helped Frank with his back, what did you do?
Okay, that's channeling the God Force healing energy. So in that case, I can direct the energy where it's coming, but basically all I'm doing is taking that God Force healing energy, and Frank will say it, it's like I just wand him, you know.
And he's ultimately the one that healed himself, because you really didn't do it, right?
No, I'm just a channel for that healing energy.
And he's got to be the one that wants it and allows it. It's always got to be a permission, from what I understand. We have to give permission, and only we are the ones really that heal ourselves. So you can present it to him, and at some level, Frank met you, right? He met you on a different level.
That's correct.
And so, Frank, you were
healed. To permissions. I don't believe you need permissions.
Okay.
So There are a lot of people who say, you know, before you give healing, ask permission for the person. But, okay, if I don't believe that's true. If you feel that they need that healing energy, then send it to them.
And they ultimately, at some level, will make a choice anyway, won't they?
Yep, that is correct. But the big thing is, like you said, you have, when you do spiritual healing on a person, it's they have to do their part. So basically, you know, in our three gifts of spirit, there's, or nine gifts of spirit, there's three healing gifts. Miracles, which happen all the time, healing, and faith. So faith is the part where you got to do your part. You have to believe that that's going to heal you.
And that really has to do with, from what I understand of it, whatever we believe is kind of what becomes our reality. So we have this great ability to, we can make things happen, heal ourselves, we can bring things into our life. And it really, this whole system is set up on our belief, isn't it?
Yeah, that is correct. You're talking about the psychosomatic type energies. But everybody can heal themselves.
Everybody can.
Yep. And there's a mantra for it. Saint Germain will give it to you. It's, I am the law of instantaneous healing.
Interesting. So. Well, I think we're probably out of time. We went a little bit longer, but that's fine. I hope you didn't mind, Phil. And is there anything more you want to tell us this time around?
No, but I thank you for being on your show, and I always enjoy it. And you're doing a good job.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate you coming on. And if the Masters or Heltor or anybody wants to get the word out, I'd love to have them on again. So thank you very much.
Thank you, TJ.